It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
And Dabula's Seafood Shed.
Yes. Well, Tom, I'm glad to see that you survived the cold weather last week, you know.
I thought I was going to lose a couple of toes, a couple of fingers, but it didn't, you know. I was able to make it out. You know, you just put on three more pair of socks and get closer to the heater.
You know, you see what happens when they cancel Mardi Gras. You know, hell freezes over.
Baby. Don't you know it?
Yeah, it's I'll tell you what, it was definitely cold.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that they canceled Mardi Gras because it'd been a hell of a Mardi Gras day if they'd have had that sucker down there. With that temperature.
There was a few brave souls that come out, but nothing like it normally is for sure. But it was definitely cold. Luckily, we didn't have any issues, and I hadn't seen any frozen up cars or anything. It wasn't quite that cold.
No,
yeah, it was close, but not really.
Well, you know, it was cold enough, but I don't think it lasted long enough.
I don't think it lasted long,
right?
You know, because it's that's the big thing with a car like that is
I see like my butterfly plant and stuff that's in my front yard. I see that's gone.
Yeah.
It caught the cold.
Yeah.
It caught the flu-monia and passed out.
Yeah, luckily we had all our plants put up on our back porch / greenhouse that we got set up for the wintertime. But luckily all that was done. I didn't have to get out there and brave all that to do it. So.
Well, we were blessed that it didn't bother any of our vehicles, whether, you know, ours as well as all of our listeners out there and the other people in the Gulf Coast area. So.
Yeah,
that was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, it was not good, but it was better than it could have been for sure. I know my son, his wife, and grandbaby, all them in Houston.
They were in Houston, aren't they?
They were in Houston, and I think it was sometime over Monday night, early Tuesday morning, lost power and didn't get it back till Thursday, and then it was on and off from there, and lost water. And you don't think, you know, that it got cold enough in the house that it froze pipes in the house, you know, because no heat.
So that's why they lost the water? I mean, was it?
Initially, and then I think the water system shut down again after that. But they finally got water going again.
They probably had to shut it down from the amount of busted pipes and all that I saw on the TV.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, like, you know, they were 6, 7, 8, 10-story buildings, and water was flowing from every damn floor, you know. It's like busted pipes everywhere.
Yeah. Well, that's something you don't plan on. Normally, you know, the pipes inside the building okay because you got heat on.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, but, you know, hey, if you lose power, you have no heat. So,
what? Okay. Here. All right. Let me run this one by you.
Mm-hmm.
Car guy here. And we've been talking about the green machine and all of the green weather stuff and all that we're being proposed. For America, call it.
Saving the world.
What's going to happen then with our green machine, electrical car type vehicle, one each, when we get a Texas cold blast?
Well,
didn't our damn country just get shut down?
Yeah, we had a high demand for power, and the power went away.
You know, them damn solar panels don't work too good when they got a foot of snow over them.
Right, and the windmills don't work when they get froze up.
When they get, you know, when you get down in the teens and all of that wind blowing as high up in the air as they are, nothing to break that wind off of them, and so they freeze.
Yeah.
Hello, America.
What a
flu barb.
Yeah,
if we go to this green machine deal here.
Yeah, I think they still got their work cut out for them before they can say, "Oh, we're just going to, you know, do away with all natural." I mean, any kind of you know, oil or gas or any of that kind of thing. because I don't think we're ready. You know,
no.
Yeah, I know our power grid isn't.
No, we just proved
that.
We're nowhere close to that.
No, we're nowhere near ready yet.
We couldn't handle 10% green machines right now.
Right.
In reality, because to start with, we don't have a service facility set up all over the dang United States and the interstates and these cities and what have you to charge all of these batteries.
Right.
And what did I see? Did I see something in the news about there's some big battery plant that's in Georgia that just got slammed with a lawsuit about copywriting infringement by a couple of the battery plants on utilizing a copyright of somebody else's manufactured battery? And that's a big deal too.
Well, and I think it was a little more serious than just infringing a copyright, because I think they actually stole the technology somehow. And they ended up building a battery, and it's in the Ford truck coming up here before long, which is going to be a problem because, you know, they're part of their penalty is that they're going to be banned from the U.S. or shipping anything into the U.S. for 10 years. They've got a few years before they have to shut it all down. But from that point forward, they'll be 10 years before they can ship anything else back in here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these batteries.
You mean the company that infringed on the copyright?
Right.
Rules
right.
And regs.
Sure. Yeah. See, they'll be kicked out of the country for 10 years once it takes effect. And if they're, you know,
style of battery. Is that right?
That
battery.
Well, no, that company.
Huh?
Period.
So they can't design another battery?
No. No, they will be banned from the country for 10 years.
Oh,
that
my
company.
God.
So the problem is okay, they're going to supply batteries, and okay, they'll get them up and going and sell some trucks.
Why don't we do that to China? They copyrighted it. They've copied every damn thing that we ever made, even our planes and trains and cars and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they probably make them a deal on some motors for some 777 Boeing planes or something.
Well, I guess so, because they probably got that copy too.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe they improved on the design, because they just seem to be blowing up and falling out the sky. You know, the motors do anyway.
Yeah.
But the problem's going to be, you know, down the road when it's time to warranty those batteries or replace those batteries. I mean, it's not like you can go off the shelf somewhere and grab a battery and stick it on there.
So two, 3 years from now, we buy a vehicle that's got that battery in it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter the difference what brand it is, and it's got that battery in it. And then 2 years later, we have a problem with that battery.
Right.
And it's under warranty, and they don't have a replacement for it.
Right.
So we're going to grow flowers in that damn truck or a car or whatever it is.
Well, you better hope it does it while it's under warranty, because it's going to be their problem, the manufacturer's problem at
that
point.
If it's under warranty, okay.
But if it's not under warranty, guess whose problem it is?
Well, yeah. Then we're talking about some big companies going broke, buying back lemons.
Yeah, yeah. So it's
I saw a lemon car in town the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's one running around here. I forget what it was. It had lemons all over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just undoubtedly they got the little pattern of a lemon.
Yeah.
And they run off a zillion lemons, mm-hmm. and they stuck them all over the car.
I've seen that over the years. You know, a few times people will do that. They're unhappy with their vehicle, and they stick that on there, and they go out there, and they run all over town. Of course, thing is it couldn't have been that big a lemon, because they're still out running.
They're still running.
Still running around with them.
Still running.
So
I bet he didn't change the motor, transmission, rear end.
Right.
So that's still working.
Yep.
Radio might not work. But.
Right. So, yeah, I've seen that a few times over the years. People have done that. I think they end up proving the opposite of what they were trying to prove, though. But,
yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, the driver's a lemon.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's yeah, it is what it is. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the electric vehicles. I know they're coming. Yeah.
Well, we sure not ready for them, though.
Yeah. I know GM has invested big into them, as well as all the other domestic manufacturers. The import guys have been big into it already. So I don't know. I think the charging, the electric grid is going to be our biggest obstacle to overcome, as well as the fuel station, recharging stations, not fuel stations. But because they'll all have to get on
service stations.
Service stations. Yeah.
Service stations. We're going to go back to service stations.
Yeah, there ain't no such thing. But anyway, no such a thing. But
They're gonna put a service station in a pack of sack.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know,
exactly.
And you run in, you know, go in and drink your cup of coffee and eat three or four, you know, you know, candy bars and you know, whatever. And then while your car is charging, you know, the battery, you know, and come back out. And then you get that bill, and it's you know, the accessories or stuff that you bought inside in concessions was $4, and charging your battery was $412.
Right. Exactly.
You're like a souped-up fuel tank.
Yep. Time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Well, it's Monday morning. He's kissing Mama goodbye. He's up and gone with the sun. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and he's off on a Midwest run.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But, you know, we're talking about electric vehicles, and it kind of brings up a little point where, you know, the training that we do for all the vehicles and the people that have been doing it for a long time, it's a total change of focus on what you got to understand, you know, because not only you're going to need some of the mechanical expertise that we have now, but once gas or fuel fired engines go away, you know, it's going to be all electric, you know, there's not going to be, I mean, you're still going to have some suspension systems and that kind of stuff. There's probably going to be some transmissions of some sort, depending on the application.
Yeah.
But, most of it's going to be electric motors and wiring and, even, you know, the air conditioning system is going to be powered by electricity instead of, you know, a belt-driven compressor. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff that's it's a whole different world, you know. So, you know, the guys that are going to stay in it start over on your training.
Right, right.
And it's kind of a different level of technician wanting to get into it. You know, 30, 40 years ago, anybody that, you know, like piddling in the backyard, working on a lawnmower or whatever, you know, and just liked mechanical stuff, could go do this.
They could go to a garage or a shop, and then they could train to be a mechanic to start with. And back then, we moved into the technician phase of it.
Right,
you know?
Right. That's going to be a little tougher, you know.
I don't think it's going to be as technical though. Because you don't have as many moving parts, Kyle.
Good thing, bad thing, whatever you want to call it, the electric vehicles, we do not have as much issues with it.
Well, there's not that much stuff to break.
No, you don't have as many moving parts. It's all more electric stuff. You know, all just, you know. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what it is. You know, I'm not going to be going before that. So
no, you're probably going to be one of the head techs in this Gulf Coast area.
I'm going to have to figure it out because it's coming before I get to retire. Yeah,
you know, let's look at it, and I'll do it from an automotive guy and an old dude that's been around for a lot of years. This is an electric car.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get shocked? Is there anything that can happen to that vehicle that can cause me to get shocked or electrocuted?
How do we warnings all over that thing, and that's a big part of our training that we have to do before we can touch one, is the safety part of the training on how to work on that vehicle and not die from it.
Right.
You know, because.
Well, do y'all wear the big lineman's gloves and all that go from your fingertips all the way up to, you know, to your armpits and, well, and I mean, all of that stuff or what?
There's a safety kit there, and it's lineman gloves, and they have to be dated and inspected and all this kind of stuff. You know, you have safety cones you got to put out around the car when you're working on – when you have the electrical system open where it can be, you know, dangerous to warn everybody, hey – stay away, leave me the hell alone, let me work on this.
Right, you know? Yeah. You know, don't come walking into my area and that and, right. You know, interrupt a bit.
Right. So it's very technical, you know, and they're coming, you know.
Well, you know,
GM
now
said they're going to be all electric by 35, so we're talking 15 years.
Let me throw you another scenario. I've got one of my new green car, and I'm buzzing down the highway. Mm-hmm. And some yahoo runs out in front of me and hits me with one of them old, you know, Suburbans or whatever, or one of them big old Ford Exploders, and you know, they call it, and runs over my little green car, and then and my car quits,
right?
And I'm stopped in the middle of the road. Do I take my hands off of the steering wheel? Can I touch my car? Do I know whether or not my electricity is shorted out somewhere? A piece of metal has cut my high-powered line, and it's cut through the insulation.
Yeah.
And I don't have none of them rubber gloves.
Right.
And I don't have none of them rubber shoes to put on my little footsies.
And that's...
What do I do? Do I sit there and just scream and holler or what?
Well, it's probably not a bad idea to sit there and wait for the safety personnel to get there, your first responders, because they are all now being trained on how to handle an electric vehicle. You know, so they can disconnect the power, because there's a main power disconnect on every battery out there.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that not only do we have to train our electrical technicians, electricians in the shops, but now we got to train all of these yahoos driving all of these wreckers and safety vehicles out here, and the police and the fire people and everybody, the first responders, they got to know how to work on these cars and disconnect the batteries too?
They need to know how to disconnect the main
so 300-volt are they going to have the little, they going to have the rubber gloves up to the yahoos? Or, you know, where are we going?
I'm not trying to be
a dumbass, but, I mean, this is things that could happen.
Right. Well, I mean, they're out there. I mean, they're getting in accidents. They're out there. You know, Tesla's been around for a few years. Toyota, GM's got electrics that have been out there. So the technology is out there and being dealt with now, you know, but it's just going to be something that's way more common as you get down the road, unless they get to where they're driving for you and all the cars are talking to each other. And you know, of course, you know, I got a German car and a Japanese car and an American car and, you know, I don't know, a Korean car. And do they all speak the same language to each other? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. So, do they have the same chips in them? You know?
I hope they're all talking the same language somehow.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. I think I could probably be in pretty good shape if it wasn't raining. But now that it's raining and I don't know how to wreck in my little green car. And I don't know whether I'm grounded or not grounded, or if I've got it cut through my insulation in my high-powered electrical system. I really don't want to step outside the car now, you know. I'm going to cheat.
Well,
bacon.
Human
bacon.
What if you run off, right here. Yeah. What do you run off in the water somewhere? You know.
Well, yeah, what if I run it in, if I'm going over to Gulf Shores and over Orange Beach over there and I run it off in the freaking bayou or the canal? Oh, come on. Am I going to get electrocuted then?
Well,
the way they're built, human bacon right here.
As long as everything is still intact, no. It's not going to let it happen. But
wait a minute. If something had to happen for me to run off the damn road. I didn't hit a post and glassed off a power pole. And two bridge abutments, and now I'm in the water.
Well, that could be a problem then. Yeah. So,
I don't believe I'm gonna get me one of them cars. You know, I don't think I'm gonna keep fixing my old gas burner here.
They've done a good job on isolating a lot of that stuff. Now they're going to have to come up with a way, and they may have already, and I do not know this for sure. Like if you get into an accident and it's a airbag deployable accident, okay, I would think they should have an electronic disconnect that kills that battery right then. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, but and I was being really goofy about the questions I just asked you about all that crap. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that would be some of the first questions that people, you know, come up with.
Right.
Because this whole country bucking here, that's, you know, some of the first things I thought about. Mm-hmm. You know, am I going to get electrocuted? And am I going to look like, you know, human bacon or what? Come on.
Yeah. Well, you won't be the one to have to worry about it no more.
No, somebody else will, you know.
Yeah. So it's, you know. They're going to figure it out. I mean, they got a bunch of engineers working on it right now because they have to.
Well, let me ask you a question. I don't know. I might be in left field. You guys, or General Motors has got some of these electrical vehicles. Do y'all have a guru somewhere in the corporation that we can get to maybe get some of my questions answered and maybe some of the questions from our listeners out there?
I don't know if we can get one to come on or not, to be honest with you.
Well, maybe we could get him to just talk to us on the phone.
Yeah,
I you know, we've got a source to get to Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if we can maybe go through that source and see if back to your man or the potentiality of your man. If they can't talk to us, give us something in writing. Give us a damn internet source that we can go to investigate and maybe answer some of these questions.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to take the legality or the liability of legality of talking about it and maybe getting asked a question they didn't want to answer,
right.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
But give us a source of getting some more information.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sure there is information out there right now, but you know, we may be able to get a little inside information. I don't know that we
need to look around. Yeah, you know, one of our good buddies up the road there has got some sources we can tap into.
Yeah, these companies are real picky about what information they let out on these things right now. So,
well, you know,
I don't blame them because they're already
put your big boy britches on, baby, because y'all going to have to answer these damn questions whether you want to or not, because if you're going to put them on the street, we gonna, you know, if we buy them, we need to know what the hell we buy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sounds like it's time for us to take a break. I'm going to let you hear from our sponsor.
Yeah, I need to calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bert.
You know, a lot of folks stop at truck stops. They just naturally think they should, because they figure any place a truck driver eats, the food's just got to be good. So they go in there amongst all them truck drivers, sitting around talking low. They're talking about women and stuff like that.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Speaking of text, we do have one. Will NASCAR go electric? And actually, that is in the works. I believe their next power plant will be some sort of hybrid power system. Yeah. It will have a gas burning engine on it, but it will also have a battery power hybrid system on it as well. Don't know what that's going to look like yet. Whether it's a boost to pass type thing, or if you've got a limited amount of it, so you got to be smart about how you use it.
Oh yes,
or how they're going to do that.
Well, but, you know, back in the day, Kev, when we worked on race cars and when NASCAR worked on their cars, you could finagle around with the tires,
mm-hmm.
you could finagle around with the chassis. And you could find a little bit here and in the camber decaster and the yaw and all this stuff on the frames and the type of products that you use, where they were stationed at, how many degrees of movement that it got back this way and that way. And then you could mess around a little bit with your power source, mm-hmm. and you could build a better motor than what Leroy had or what George had, mm-hmm. and then you know, and then you got down to the very minute portion of it was the steering wheel holder,
right?
You know,
right.
And then, well, now all of that has changed.
Mm-hmm.
We now have the gen cars,
yep,
where they're all built to one particular specification. I would guess that every piece on there has to, you know, as far as a fabricated or a manufactured component or piece, has to fit a certain jig, meaning a form that says it's you can only put it so many degrees here, so many degrees there.
Right.
And then, and or a specific part from a manufacturer to use on that car. And now you had a special body,
mm-hmm.
that, and you only got one kind of body. The only changes were in the grills.
Right.
And the front nose piece, yeah. Everything else is identical.
Right.
So, and, you know, and then we got these motors that they actually giving you part numbers and giving you the manufacturer's numbers of the parts that you could use in these motors now.
Right.
To build these motors. Now we're going to get a hybrid car. With some innovation from the electricity and electrical power.
Mm-hmm.
So the only variable that we're going to have in any and all of the above is going to be the driver.
Right. You know, and I know what they're doing, and they're trying to, well, they're trying to save the sports, what they're doing. But, you know, they're trying to make it to where it doesn't make sense for a team to have to build a new car for every race because the technology is moving that fast. You know, over the last few years, it's gotten to the point where they'll build a new car, take it to the track, run it, and by the next week, there's something else has come up,
right,
that they found that they needed to build into their next chassis and
right.
in their next
right.
chassis.
Our latest yeah. 15 cars came through tech with an idea that some – guru has thought about or whatever that mm-hmm. they could do to maybe pick up 1/10 per lap or 2/10 per lap.
Right.
And then everybody in the shop knew about it, so they started talking about it. So everybody in the other shops found out about it. So they changed it all to their cars, but then they get to tech, and 15 or 20 cars has got the same thing. So the next race, you got the rule change.
Right.
You know?
Right. Well, you know, and I was listening to a
not Dale Earnhardt, but Waltrip, Mike, not Michael, Daryl. Daryl Waltrip was on Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s show.
Download.
Yeah, and he started talking about all of the things that they did when he was driving that were considered illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But they thought about it. But he just said next week it'd be in the rules where that you couldn't do that. So
right.
he said, we help them write the rule book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, there's one of the things that I found interesting they talked about at one point was how not only you can't keep a secret in racing. It doesn't work.
No.
You know, you may be able to find something and keep it hidden for a little while.
Right.
But somebody's going to figure it out. But all the cameras and stuff walking around and all the videos and all that of these cars, they're actually – the teams are taking those and studying them, you know, back the next week to look for any kind of differences in their car versus your car and trying to figure out why you're doing that and is that an advantage and do I need to do it to mine or not,
right.
you know.
Right.
And it may be something very minute. You know, and of course the biggest place they're making advantages now is under the car with all the aerodynamics and stuff they're doing underneath them, that you can't see as well, all the crush panels and the way they're shaped and put in the car and all the underpans of the car, the way they're built.
Because they got that damn spider that they put over the top of the car,
mm-hmm.
and then it's got lasers everywhere on it. So, you know, it's not like the old days when we had these homemade jigs and all that we were using mm-hmm. to measure all this stuff with. I mean, you got computer-controlled lasers.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just like back in the day, you know, that running a super stock, you know, I played on the dyno all the time. You know, my best friend owned a dyno, and
right.
that's where my car was kept at. And that's, I mean, my shop was, you know, 15 feet from where the dyno was. So if I come up with something or thought about something, heck, I'd go put it on the dyno and play with it.
Right.
See if it worked
right.
or not.
See if it worked, yeah.
And we were playing one day and figured out that if I extended my fan shroud out over the top of the motor, but under the air cleaner,
right,
it was a huge advantage horsepower-wise because you weren't blowing that hot air from the radiator over the cross of the air cleaner because you weren't allowed to enclose the air cleaner and pick up cold air at the back of the windshield,
right,
or the bottom of the windshield. So, right.
But 50 degrees or so of cooler air makes more oxygen in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
And humidity.
Well, I mean,
so it burns
it was,
better.
It's
fuel.
I run that fan shroud back about center of the carburetor. So about, I covered half of the bottom of the air cleaner
right.
with it.
Yeah.
You know, 15 horsepower Ooh. On just the dyno, not Ooh. Counting being on the racetrack. You know, and it was more on the racetrack.
That's
huge.
That's winning.
That's huge.
That's
huge
the difference in winning.
You know, and, you know, of course.
Well, they probably saw it and outlawed it.
Well, they tried. They worked at it for a while, and I finally beat them down. But it was. They asked me, okay, what's this? And I said, well, my pit crew's kind of dumb. They keep sticking their hands in the fan, so I put a
right.
fan on
there
it.
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Then they were like.
Got to use safety. Got to get okay. safety involved
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, then they were like, okay, but I need to be able to see the front of the motor. So next week I came back, and I had a piece of Lexan put in the air box.
Right.
Where they could see right through it.
Right,
so
yeah. See the front
it didn't
of the
change
motor.
Anything. They could see. You asked me to see the front of the motor, so
right.
you can see the front of the motor. No, I got to be able to reach down in there. So the next week, I had a piece of removable Lexan. I had a little push pin. You can pull it out and pull the Lexan out, and you can stick and get to whatever you want
Don't
to do.
Don't put your hand down in there while the damn motor's running. Let's see if I care.
And finally,
break like a nub.
Finally, at that point, they quit trying to change the rules, and they left me alone for a while on that. But about 2 years later, they finally outlawed it, where they you couldn't extend past the fan too much.
But you know, all that being said, Dale, I mean, didn't you also find some technology involving the air cleaner itself and the types of air cleaner filters that you were using?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we had gone through different air breathers and air filters, the elements themselves, found that, you know, the K&N filter was fine, you know, but if you treated it the way that they wanted it treated, where you wash it and you re-oil it and all that kind of stuff, it actually, you know, killed some horsepower.
Yeah.
So then I just started using a regular paper element,
right.
but actually a cheaper paper element.
Cheapest thing you could find.
Right. It had more open area,
right,
basically.
Right.
And this was before Wick's come out with a good racing
right,
breather.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
That's what I used on my car back in
the
day.
And so then we finally went with that. And there was different air cleaner lids and bases and all that kind of stuff that were worth, you know, 4, 5, 6 horsepower here and there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, see, now here's the thing now, see. That's the ingenuity of a individual, a mechanic and or a tech guy
mm-hmm.
that's utilizing his brain to say, okay, I got to find me a tenth. I got to find me 3 horsepower. I got to find 5 horsepower
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And then you find that, and then you got, well, I got to find 4 more. I got to find 5 more.
Right.
So you just keep pushing that technology along,
mm-hmm.
and that's what NASCAR has done. But now they've taken all of that away from us.
Right.
See? And they've got these damn cookie-cutter cars. You know, now we got the cookie-cutter motors, and now
mm-hmm.
we're going to get a cookie-cutter electric motor
right.
with a cookie-cutter type, you know, come on.
The well,
only thing we can do is just, you know, we can hop up the driver and put him on get him on some power
put him
surge
on something,
or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's one of those things where, you know, if you tell a racer, okay, you can't do this.
Uh-oh, you're in trouble.
He's going to find a way around
you're
that.
You're damn right.
I didn't do that.
Right.
You know, I ended up on the other side of that.
I'll find a way around it. Yes, sir.
You know? The best thing for the electric technology is if they were to go electric in some of these race cars, and they'll find a way to make them charge faster, use less power, and go faster. I promise you.
I can see it already. You know, mm-hmm. it's just like the commercial they got about the damn little batteries, and they got the little toy trucks out there, and they're on mm-hmm. the racetrack, and the little girl hands her daddy a new, some kind of ever-ready battery or something that's got extra power in it, And he puts that in there, and he outruns everybody else and wins.
Yeah.
So everybody else is over on the side, and they're throwing their hat on the ground, and they're kicking the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
the guy had a battery that might have been a half a volt, you know, better than what the other batteries were.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, and that's what I get out of racing anyway. I enjoy building the better mousetrap.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm gonna find the power plant that makes more power. If I gotta work with it, it may be the exact same motor you're running.
Right, right.
The way I put it in the car, or the way the air gets to it,
right,
or whatever.
Where you mount it in the car,
right?
Where you mount it,
how
in
you
the
mount
car.
It in the car. How straight the drive line is
right.
going back to the rear end,
and
whatever.
All of the above.
Yeah.
But you know what? Now all of that technology has come over to our daily vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of our technology that you guys and all of us that were in racing over all these years, 50, mm-hmm. 60 years or whatever, then all of that knowledge has come forth to work on the cars that we've been presented daily.
Right.
So,
right.
So we've come along with our technology, mm-hmm. just like the manufacturers and the factories have come along with their technology.
Right.
So, we're all on the same page, but we get off of that page once a year when we get the new models.
Right, exactly. Well, it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The Doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet. This is one of our primary sponsors and my employer.
I do
like to mention them when I can.
Great guys and a good group. Been around for 11 years.
Yeah, 1939, so you can do the math of wherever that falls.
Ooh,
but
they're old as I is.
Yeah, they've been around a while. So,
I thought I was old.
Yeah. So it's a good company to work for. I enjoy what I do there.
It's a good family-run corporation. And,
locally owned and operated and been local,
right.
In the same family since day one.
Well, it's like I tell suppliers, when we're talking about corporate structure versus local stuff, it's just like with our radio station here. This is owned locally and is run by local people. And if we decide to make a decision about something, or the management team decides to make a decision about something, they don't have to call Kansas City or Spartanburg, South Carolina, to check with the home office to see if that's okay to maybe make a change.
That's when you look over your shoulder. Hey, can we do this?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Is it okay to do this, boss?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let me check. Let me think about it just a minute. Right. Oh yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with. Like UJ Chevrolet,
mm-hmm.
If you go out there and you got a complaint or you got a problem or you want a vehicle, you're going to talk to people locally that make the decisions.
Right.
The only time that it would be something where it would not be a local decision is when you run into some kind of mechanical deal.
Well, if it's a warranty issue that we're not – authorized to call for General Motors, then
you got to call.
We got to involve them, right. And that's going to be with any manufacturer,
any manufacturer,
dealer, whatever. So and because we all have basically the same authorizations, unless you've been in trouble with the manufacturer,
they limit
your ability.
But now there's an exception a little bit to that rule, and some people will understand it, and that is. The factory might say, well, okay, this is as far as you can go, or we need to investigate that. We'll get back with you in 3 or 4 days or a week or whatever and let you know. But then if the local people can decide whether they want to put you in a rental car or they want to help you with some kind of deal or whatever. Maybe they want to trade that vehicle in or let you trade the vehicle in and get you another vehicle and all. Well, the corporation is not going to do that.
Right.
Because there's nobody on site locally that has the authority to dictate what the corporate structure is.
Right.
I mean, the general manager does, but he's got to go back and look at a book to see if it's in the book.
Well, you know, and
or on the internet, you know.
And I probably shouldn't say this, but, you know, say you've
been on that side of the fence.
You're unhappy with something about your car or about your service or whatever, and you're going to call GM's customer relation line.
Right.
You know, the first thing that happens is they get in touch with the dealer and the customer, and they get the customer and the dealer together. It's like, okay, well, we're already here. We were here all along. If
you're
going to talk about it, let's talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and the people at GM, they're not authorized to. They're looking at – there's somebody sitting at a computer just looking. They're not authorized to give you anything.
Right.
You know? It's, you know, I don't know. They don't have any more authority than we do when it comes to who we ask for what. And if you know, like if it's a out of warranty thing and we have to or need to ask GM whether they'll step up and help a customer with something, you know, we do it. We ask for the help and they send us back an answer, and that's what the answer is.
There you go. Right.
So,
but you've got somebody,
we're not making that call.
You've got somebody on your side, though, you know, if you're the car owner.
Right.
Or the customer, you've got somebody locally on your side because y'all care about the customer.
Right.
You know, because y'all don't want to see that customer the last time.
Right.
You know, when you have a family organization, then you work off of families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want the daddy, then you want the kid, and then you want the grandkid.
Right.
And then you want the great grandkid to be your customers. Corporate structure is not built that way.
Right. Right.
You know, they're just looking for what come through the door today.
Right. Well, you know, and what we see and what happens at UJ is, you know, the first thing we look at is what kind of customer have you been with us?
Well, hell, yeah.
You know? And, you know, if it's a questionable thing, you know, I've seen them step up and take care of something that GM wouldn't.
Right.
You know, you know, so
but you gotta have a running record with that, though.
Right. Well, you know, be a customer,
establish.
Come in, be honest, and don't try and get things covered that
don't
are
try
obviously
to rip y'all
not,
off. Yeah,
are obviously not a warranty issue.
I need help. Y'all help me.
And we'll go the extra yard to try and make it happen. So, you know, only so much can be done.
Right.
But you know what? It's we will make the effort for sure.
Well,
you know,
now, here you go again. Y'all are worried about your customer because
y'all
are hometown people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see that. You know, not only are you going to see that guy at your store, you might see him at, I use it all the time, the Pack a Sack, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, the grocery store or Rouse's over here where you're picking up your shrimp for dinner tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That customer might be in there, you know. And
you're
worried about that guy because you want that to be your friend and your customer.
Right.
And you want to be his friend treating him right and knowing that you are a local person. And, you know, he's going to see you every damn week or whatever. So he knows he's going to get a fair shake.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's just like anything else. You know, you're going to try and keep your customers happy because, you know, first off, and you know this as well as I do, you know, if you make a customer happy, you do everything right, and he is just the happiest guy in the world when he leaves your place. He might tell somebody in passing that he was really satisfied with what he got done there.
He's going to tell one or two people.
Yeah, but if he walks out there mad,
that guy's going to tell 25.
He's going to find everybody he ever thought he knew.
Oh,
and
yes.
Most of the people that he ain't ever met.
And
he's going to tell them.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And that's just the way it goes.
And that's going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about that. I mean, but, you know, we do our best.
Because I think that you and your organization do everything within your power to make sure that customer doesn't feel that way.
Right, right.
You know?
I mean, yeah, we're making the extra effort to make sure our customers are happy.
Well, you're not going to be able.
Don't get me wrong, because we do that.
Well, you're not going to be able to say, well, I don't need to worry about this dude because I'm getting transferred to Kansas City tomorrow with that other dealership, you know.
Right.
So I ain't got to worry about him. Hell with it, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's
– Let him go.
But why it's important to build a relationship with a dealer. You know, I see cars all the time that are bought, and we have no problem working on vehicles that are bought from another dealer.
Right.
But, you know, we see them all the time that they'll buy them somewhere else because they save – $20 somewhere.
Oh yeah,
you know, or
but they know where to go get good service, so they come back to y'all,
right? You know, and you know, when it comes down to a problem, and we haven't seen that vehicle before, didn't sell it, didn't whatever, you know, yeah, we'll do what GM says, but that's basically
that's
where it's
that's all your yeah, yeah, that's all your yeah.
yeah. You know, so it's a little different deal when it's a customer that has bought, right, you know, 10, 15 right vehicles from us and
well, hell, yeah,
aunts and uncles and kids.
You establish that familiarity with the dealership and with the people and the service manager, you know, and the guy and the salespeople is there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've built this this deal with all the internet purchases and all this kind of stuff, not just with cars. I'm talking about, you know, instead of going into a store and buying something, you're picking up your telephone and you're, you know, punching some buttons and you're ordering and it shows up in your door. You never see anybody in person.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
It's changed the whole mentality about how things are bought, but I still like the old way.
You know, when you put as much money as you have to put into a new vehicle now,
then
I want some rapport with the people but be in charge.
Exactly.
Yep.
But it sounds like we've run up to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And this is the Car Doctor along with Tom Claxton. And I'll see you next week.
And for all of our veterans out there, a big hoorah. Thank you so much for your service.
Move on over, stay inside my cruise control and overdrive. Need to take my baby for a ride.